right. Well, that was fun.
Josh gets up here and draws a sky, and nobody can get it. We put a cross up there, and everybody thinks it's too easy, right? So it was just one of the. There's something I wanted to read because it really touched my heart. On 10,000 angels, on page 410, it says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died. Here it is, alone. When's the last time you thought about Jesus Christ dying alone for you? His everything that he's ever known, he has no longer. He's on that cross. God has turned his face from him. And now he's alone because of you. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he said no. Because one day Dale's going to come to me. He could have called 10,000 angels and walked off that cross and it would have been done. But he says, no, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die alone. He was by himself at that point. Why is he by himself? Because he took every one of us, every one of our sins and our faces to that cross. We think that we know what real love is. But all we really know is human love. And human love hurts. Human love can destroy. Human love can tear a life apart. But have you ever looked at the love that Jesus Christ has for you and what he went through for us? The more we meditate on that, this is why the Bible says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, because we don't like to think about those things, because when we start thinking about that kind of stuff, we will do things differently. The problem is people don't want to do things differently. Being happy where you're at. The children of Israel all got an inheritance, right? God gave them their inheritance. He handed it out. He said, now the priests, you get me. How many in this room that are Christians, born again, are happy with the inheritance of God? What if he was to come in your life right now? And this includes myself. What if he was to come in and start just taking away all the things that we hold dear in our life, Andy? Would we be happy with God as our inheritance? Would you be happy with what God wants to give you? You see, as long as we're getting things from God that we're okay with, we're okay. But you see, sometimes there's things that God wants to give you that he wants to give you that you don't want. Mm-hmm. Are you happy with it? I'm going to say, go out on a limb, because you know I'm a human being just like you are, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say, most likely not. I find myself on a daily basis waking up and asking myself, am I really happy with what God has given me? And I really got a wake-up call yesterday when my wife was telling me about what was going on with her cousin's son there, Trevor. And I whine and cry and become an effeminate person when little things go wrong in my life. And here I'm watching these unsaved people who don't believe in a God go through what they're going through. And I have a right to complain and whine and cry after what God has done for me and my family. Shame on me. But most of all, shame, because I don't think about what he died alone for me, what he's done for me. Hey, we want to look back at our husband or wife or somebody you're courting, and we want their affection. We think on their affection often. But do we think of on the affection that Jesus Christ has given us, what he done for us? We don't think upon those things. Even as Christians, we could be those type of people who take and don't like to retain God in their knowledge, because he might just have something different than what you were hoping for. You see, liberty behind bars, I stand back now and I watch how God has moved things and put things in the way and closed things and opened doors up. You know why? Because it's his way, not mine. He called me according to his purpose, not mine. And listen, when Jesus Christ saved me, my purpose went out the door. Today, Pastor, everybody's trying to hold on to their purpose still.
That's right.
Liberty behind bars is not Dale Moore's purpose. And my prayer is, and I'm not even kidding you, I prayed it even this morning. I said, Lord, for one second, if I think this ministry is going to be built on me, you just go ahead and shut it down and I'll sit in the pew and keep my mouth shut. Amen. I know where I stand. I don't get high-minded over what God is doing in this ministry. I have done nothing for Liberty Behind Bars. I cannot do anything outside of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that I will ever be able to do to help those men and help those women who are sitting in jails and prisons, mental hospitals and rehabs without God. You don't think I know that? God, shut the door and I'll sit down in the church pew and that's what I'll do for the rest of my life if I ever think that I'm something. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 19. The Lord gave me something, but while you guys are turning to Psalm 19, I want to read something out of Psalm 138, verse 2, and it says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name. Go to Psalm 19, verse 7. He says, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And I want you to hear this part. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He's put his word where? Above his whole name. Should we not do that? Should, if God has taken his word and he's magnifying it above his name, let me ask you this, Christian, why aren't you doing it? Let me ask you this, lost person, how come you're not magnifying God's word above his name? How come it doesn't have a place in your heart the way your spouse does or your children? Tell me that. Why doesn't Jesus Christ have that preeminence in our life that he so longs for, that he wants for a person, but yet we won't give that to him? Oh, I'm guilty. But his word is above his own name. And here we are. We're taking his word and we're trying to put it second place because we're trying to make God line up with our will. And we wonder why we end up in the wilderness. Look at Psalm chapter 19. I got to turn there. Psalm chapter 19. And I just want to share with you a few minutes here out of the word of God. This is something that the Lord gave me sitting down the other day when I was meditating on him. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. It says, "Is thy law, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Oh my goodness, what does that mean? Hey, lost person, if you're in here, you want to be converted, it's going to be from the law of, law of God. Okay? How do we know that? Paul says that the law is a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is somebody who brings somebody from one place to the next. If you're sitting in this room today and you don't see a need to be saved, you're in a bad place. If you don't see yourself the way, how can you sit in a church? How can you sit there and see yourself the way God wants you to see him if you won't put his word above your name? How does a person understand? I did the Bible study at Wednesday in the jail there, and I asked the guys this. I said, let me ask you something. When you woke up this morning, did you think of your condemnation? You're condemned. You're a dead person walking if you don't have Jesus Christ. You're a dead man walking. You're a dead woman walking without Jesus Christ. I said, let me ask you this. Have you thought of your condemnation this morning? Do you think about where you're standing? It's a serious matter to God. He went to the cross for it. Why isn't it a serious matter to us anymore? Look at that just said there in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that God can convert a soul by how? Bringing a person to that place where they see that they're guilty in the eyes of God. But people don't want to see that they're guilty before God. They hate to stand there. Hey, how about it? You think I look like standing in front of a judge back in my past? I had to sit there and that man was going to tell me what I was guilty of and then he was going to pronounce whatever sins I had. Let me just say this, lost person. You're going to stand there before God one day and you're going to stand before that throne and he's going to find you guilty of breaking his law and he's going to condemn you to hell and you ain't going to jump in there. Them angels are going to come down, they're going to bind you hand and foot and they're going to cast you in there. You know why? Because it ain't a joke. If it was so much of a joke, then why did God have to go to a cross and die for your sins? You don't think he takes it serious? And then what? Throughout eternity, God's going to miss every single person that goes to hell. There's going to be a tear in his eyes forever and throughout eternity because he lost one. God takes your soul and saving you serious, shouldn't you? It says here that the law of God is perfect and converting the soul. 1 Peter, look at 1 Peter. Look what it says here in 1 Peter. If you're not a quick turner, you don't have to turn there. But I'm just going to turn and read some verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to go through 22 through 25. Look what it says here. I want you to notice the words here. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in what? Obeying the truth. How are you going to purify your souls? Through the Word of God. Understanding your condemnation under the laws of God. But Dale, you don't understand. This was done to me. And I did this and this was happening. That's not what God's looking for, my friend. Most of you know my past, and I was molested by a man as a young man, as a young boy. It ripped my innocency from me. He took that innocency from me that I'll never have back again. And you know what it did? It made me a very hateful person. That's why I had hate tattooed on my knuckles. And I like to go out there and spread that hatred. I like to spread that disgusting bitterness, that vile thing called hatred. That's what I went out there and did. I loved it. It gave me a relief. It was going to send me to hell. Hold on to that. It was going to send me to hell. You know what happened, Nick? Because I so clung on to that for so long, God said, Dale, this is what I don't you want. I don't want you to worry about that. That's not what I'm trying to deal with you, huh? We're not concerned about that right now. What I'm concerned about is what we have between me and you. What I'm concerned about is what's going on between me and you. And let me just say this. When I got saved 8.5 years ago, guess what? Those nightmares went away of that man doing those things to me. That hatred that I had, that bitterness that I carried around with me, it left. I don't need sleeping pills. I don't need bipolar medicines and everything else that they had me on to be able to function. Why? I got Jesus Christ. He came into my life and he took that stuff. But you want to carry it around? You want to lug that around with you over and over again? Listen, the Word of God is pure. And look what it says here. It says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. My goodness. You want to know something that's missing in churches today, pastors? Real love.
That's right.
The Bible talks about an unfeigned love. Somebody who's not being fake when they love somebody. Mm-hmm. Pretending church. Pretending to come to church like they really have love for somebody. Man, I'm going to get something to my skin more than that. There's somebody coming in here pretending like they love something. I can tell you this one thing. I've never had a fake love for you, ever. We may have not got along, but I've never had a fake love for her, ever. There was nothing fake about when I told her I loved her. And I thank God for it. I travel around churches now. I look at people who say they love each other. It makes me ill. Look what it says here, verse 20, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Listen, NIV, ESV, ASV, RSV, whatever you want to call it, won't save you. Listen, books that people write aren't going to save you. Programs aren't going to save you. Okay? Your pastor can't save you. He used to look at me and tell me, Dale, he said, let me tell you this. If I could take it from you, I would, but I can't, so you're just going to have to get along with God. That's all there is to it, my friend. My pastor would sit there with tears in his eyes and he would just be weeping over my soul. He said, but I can't do anything. It's going to be between you and God. My pastor didn't lead me in a prayer or down the Romans road or any of that nonsense when I got saved. I got on the floor by myself in front of my couch and I prayed to a holy God because I came under condemnation and I finally realized what I was in his eyes. Thank God for it. I thank God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Means it can't be messed with. What do you mean it can't be messed with? All you're hearing is man's knowledge. What they think this means. Go ahead and put down the commentaries and the books and all that for a while. Put away the dictionaries and stuff and see what God has to say to you. You know what you got to do? Probably the same thing you have to struggle with or you may struggle with. Is I learned a lot of things as an unsaved person. But you know what I learned? It's all nonsense. It doesn't line up with my King James Bible, even though I was being taught by King James people. I come to quickly realize that stuff is nonsense. And I started studying my Bible. Why? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is live, it's quick, it's powerful. And listen, I'm up here preaching because let me just say this. There are people in this church today that the Word of God is second or third in their life. It doesn't mean anything to them. And they wonder why they sit here lost. Do you know the importance of the Word to God? That He has set it above His own name. And how should we reverence it?
Well, I guess I'll just keep reading and hoping for the best. And I guess I'll just get up and have to give a half-hearted time to God.
Well, I guess maybe if I feel like it today, I'll read when I can. Imagine if God said that to every one of you.
Well, Nick, I'll just help you when I can. I'll just help you when you think of me.
Imagine if God said that. I'll just save you one day when I think it's all good. When I think that I'm ready to save you, it may be that I'm going to hang you over hell for the next 40 years.
Let me tell you this. In the condition that I was in before I got saved, I couldn't imagine another moment.
That's reality, Pastor. I couldn't imagine another day. When I ran out of that church that night, he was preaching. Evangelist Willis Shankles was preaching. I got up out of that seat and I told my wife, out the door now. And he's in a mid-service. And I blasted right out that door. I just couldn't handle it anymore. I had no clue how to deal with it. I had no clue. But I just know this, that everything had just fallen out of me. I was guilty. I was naked before God. For the first time in my life, I had nothing to say. I had nothing to do. I was naked before a holy God. And I just went home and I got on my floor. And I said, here we are, Lord. I see it. What do I do from here? You know what? I didn't say no prayer. I don't even remember what I prayed. But I remember for the first time in my life getting up off that floor. And I took the deepest breath I ever had in my entire life. And I said, oh my goodness, here it is. I finally got saved. Finally, all that stuff that I've been carrying with me, all the nightmares, all the burdens, everything in my life is finally gone. It was lifted off of me. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. Pastor, preach on iniquity. I know what I have in my life that I'm regarding. I know what it is. I told my wife what it is. Matter of fact, I talked to Tanya while Pastor was preaching. I'm whispering things because I understood the iniquity. I understand what it is. You know, the Bible says this, honor your mother and your father. I've learned how to honor my mother. My father's dead. But I've learned how to honor my mother, who's an abusive woman. But here's where the mistake is. Jesus says if a person honors their mother and father and calls them a gift, if I think that I'm a gift to my mother, I'm a curse. I become a curse to my mother. Because I walk around while honoring you, now I'm your gift. You know what the next challenge God set before me? Now I want you to get under the authority of your mother. Yeah. That's the iniquity that I regard in my heart, that I will not submit to the authority of my mother. Oh, God, you think that's important to God? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very important to God. You know what? The prayers have been shut off, been going through it, man. Like, oh, my goodness, why am I in this wilderness? And when God showed me, it just blew my mind. Yes, Dale, you learn how to honor your mother, but that iniquity that you're regarding in your heart, we got to take care of that. It's not letting me escape it. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person in this entire planet that can say, hey, Dale, this is what I need you to do. And my mother would walk up to me and say, Dale, I need you to do that same thing. I said, no, Mom, I'm not doing it. That's right. That's what I have on my back. That's what God is dealing with me on. You know where I learned that? Right here. God showed me that. Sit down. The Holy Ghost of God said, Dale, the problem is you won't submit to your mother's authority. In this Bible, tells me to honor my mother. Not just with my lips. Not just with my action like I'm some gift to her. I'm more of a curse to my mother than I am a gift. Oh, no, the Bible's not that important. Don't regard it. But it's the very thing that the Bible says here in Psalms chapter 19. It tells you right off the bat that it's clean. It converts the soul. It's pure. It tells you exactly. Listen, the Word of God is going to go against everything you are. Listen, if you're not lining up with what the Word of God is saying, it's not because God is wrong. It's because you are. We can't twist it to fit what we want to fit. But look at this says here. Let me get back to Psalm 19. This is what it says here. I want to read a few more verses before we quit because we got to get changed. They're going to go out there tubing. And say, I'm not going tubing. I'm going to stand there and watch. There's no way. I tried it a few years ago and it about killed me. But it's a fun hill, man. I mean, it really is. I wish I could do it, but not in the condition I'm in. But look at Psalm 19. Here we go. Look what it says here. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. How about it? How about God save somebody like me? A knucklehead, a lowlife, a scumbag, an ex-convict, an addict, worthless to this planet, worthless to people. And God saves me. And know what it says? Now he's making the simple wise. Who made me wise? Sure wasn't me. Sure wasn't me. I don't have any wisdom. I got the wisdom that's in this world. And that's where it kept me, in the world. But God says, I'm going to make him wise. And look what it says here. And it says, the statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. They're rejoicing the heart. You know, you go back in the Old, New Testament, it says the commandments of God are not grievous. Uh-oh. What God tells you shouldn't be a grievous thing. It should be a good thing. It should be something that you want to do. Why? It says that his word, his testimony is a rejoicing in the heart. If you're not having a rejoicing in the heart, is the problem with God or you? There's a rejoicing in the heart that should be taking place. The commandments of God should not be a grievous thing to us. Why? Listen, just as you love your children. And I watched Brother Thaddeus there with his little girl all day long. And he was going to break her will. She wasn't getting away with it. Child of God, you ain't getting away with it. God's going to hold you there until he breaks you. Why? Because it's not about your will anymore. It's about what he wants in your life. And it says here that his statutes of the Lord are the right, the rejoicing in the heart. One day she's going to look back at her dad and say, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for making me into that girl that I'm supposed to be. Thank you for making me into that woman that I'm supposed to be. Thank you for listening to God. Thank you for getting that word and reading it to us. Thank you for praying for us. Sometimes I always ask my wife, man, I wonder, my goodness, when is God going to start breaking people? What's it going to take? What is it? I got a whole family that's lost. They'll tell me, my goodness, Dale, your life has changed so much. I'm like, don't you want some? Why don't you want some of this goodness? Why don't you want some of this? What is what part of this don't you want? Tell me what part you don't want so maybe I can help you understand that you should want it. I mean, the goodness that God has been to me and my wife, the things that he's blessed us with. I'm not talking material things. Our home is not based on material things. When you can have children that say, you know what, Christmas ain't about toys and gifts. It's about us. Christmas ain't about me buying my kids stuff. And they know that. If we can get them a few things, wonderful. But if not, you know what God has given me and my wife? You go ahead, you can make fun of my trailer that I live in. You can make fun of my double wide that I live in. But God, Jesus Christ lives in that trailer. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the one that built a home in that trailer. Jesus Christ has given my children a time when they go to bed at night, that mom is in there praying. And they get up in the morning, and dad is grabbing their hands. And we're all four going to sit down, we're going to pray. Jesus Christ is the one who every single night, we sit down to dinner together and we go over the Bible and we preach and we pray and we love one another and we support others and we go out there and we put ourselves out there in the ministry. Because it's not about our will anymore. So you go ahead and make fun of where I live or what I live in. Because you know what? That's not what makes my house that house. Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
I guarantee you that.
Amen.
Guarantee you that. Because let me just tell you this. Ain't nobody coming to my house teaching me how to be a dad or anything. Me and the Holy Ghost sitting down. Why? He called me to be the spiritual leader of my home. Amy, God never intended you to be the spiritual leader of our home. He put that weight on me. You know what? There's times as a man, I got to take my wife and my kids and put them on my back and say, let's ride. Get on. But honey, get on. For good or for bad. You know what they learn how to do? Stop kicking and screaming. Because no matter we make mistakes or whether we make good mistakes or bad mistakes, we're just going to go with it. God has built a home for the Maurys. Could you imagine that, Nick? But listen, I could have never imagined that God would have done that for me, Brother Ronnie, ever in a million years. Would I have ever imagined? I never knew what a home was. You have to understand where I come from. What was a home to me? What was love? And God used a beautiful woman to show me what human love is. And that'd be her right there. I had no clue. You ask her if I knew what love was. I knew what lust was. When I met Annie, I had a lust for her. I didn't have a love for her. I didn't know how to love her. I wanted to so bad that I want to love Annie so bad. I would have done anything just to be able to love her. I just had zero clue on how to love her. I had no clue, brother, what was love. Because all the love that I was ever shown stumped me out, beat me, cussed me out, called me all kinds. That's the love I grew up with. Now, listen, what is this love thing that she has? It scared me to death. Oh, but God and His mercy. You know why? Me and my wife, I know people think we're crazy, Pastor, about this Bible thing. I'm glad you think I'm crazy. Because I wouldn't trade my life for yours. Not a person in this room. God gave me exactly what I need to be happy. There's not anybody I sit at home with, gosh, I wish I had that, or man, I wish I could. There's not one. You know why? Because God didn't build me to be in your home. God didn't make me to come and be in your house. He said, you're going to be ahead of the Moriah. How am I going to do this, Lord? How can I do? Because I have to make the word of God of utmost importance. And let me just tell you this. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, without this, you can just go ahead and forget it. You have no clue how to do it. Let me just say this, and I'll close. I want you to just stop and think for 5 minutes. And I want you to think back of the last 2 years of your life and tell me how wonderful you have it. I want you to think about that. Unsaved person, I want you to think of the last 2 years of your life, and I want you to tell me, how wonderful has it been for you? Now, if I had time, I could sit here and tell you how wonderful my life has been in the last 2 years. Because I finally said, you know what, God? I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to pick up that Bible and I'm going to lead my family. Because if this Bible is not, listen, when I have God exactly where He needs to be, my home runs exactly the way it's supposed to. But when I have my family above God, you really can do that? Yeah. 90% of the people sitting in this room have something else above God. I can guarantee it. You know, how do you know that? You watch your life. People really think they're hiding stuff. Remember, I'm an ex-convict. I see things that normal people don't. And people really think they're hiding things. You know what? You can see it. It's plain as day where God is in a person's life. And what I'm telling you now is make God first in your life. Make Him first above all things. Make that Bible first in your life. Listen to your children, to whoever it is, your mom, your dad, whoever you're around the most. Make it first in front of them. Bring it to them. Show them. You know what the best way they're going to see the Bible in your life is how you live it. Actions speak louder than words. So what I'm telling you is if God puts His word above His own name, shouldn't you put His word there? I'm done, Pastor. Or Neil, I'm done.